Well, good morning. I hear some whistling here and, you know, excitement in the house. Joshua, that was awesome, Josh. As usual, you took us in. You know, I surrender all, broke it for me. Thank you so much. God is taking us deeper. Thank you. Thank you again to this background team, Billy and all the others who just worked so hard. I appreciate it. Week after week, you guys have been here. Really appreciate it. This morning, if you've come to listen to a good message and a good teaching, you'll be disappointed because I'm not here to teach. I'm here to transfer anointing. There is a place for good preaching and teaching, but there is a place for transference of anointing and shifts that need to take place. And I sense this morning, God has already started this. I'm in the midst of a move that God is doing in the earth at large. And I just pray as men and women of God, as sons of Issachar, you will understand the times and the seasons. And this is a season when God is definitely moving, definitely transferring a new anointing. The topic that I have is a time of transition, triumph in the time of transition. That's what I'm going to speak about. I'm really actually going to speak about what happens in a time of transition. How do you position yourself in a time of transition? Whether you like it or not, we are in the midst of COVID. I'm in Ontario, Toronto, for those who are outside Canada listening to this message. You know, the numbers are increasing. The second wave is on. But COVID has shifted everything. There's been a transition. And whether we like it or not, we've been thrown into a transition where there's social distancing. Words like bubble that we've never heard before. What was bubble before? We've never heard that word before. We are in a place where you know, the numbers of people who are dying has increased, the number of people who have been infected increased, and this puts us in a place of fear, puts us in a place of wondering what's going to happen next. And some of the people who are listening to me, you could have had some of your loved ones who were COVID positive or gone through some hard times, you know. So there is a time of transition. There is definitely a place for economical upheaval that is happening. You know, I know worldwide there is an economical upheaval. Now, in this time of transition, how do you position yourself? How do you handle this time of transition? I want to talk to you from 2 Kings chapter 1 and chapter 2. I've been in the book of Zechariah. I've been in the book of 2 Kings. Those are the two books I've been in for the last over a month. God has been keeping me there. God spoke to me very clearly about the book of Zechariah at the end of a particular year, saying this is the prophetic word. God really told me, bring back the prophetic word from the book of Zechariah. And I've been in the book of Zechariah. Along with the book of Zechariah, God took me and told me, go into 2 Kings and read through that book. And I'm in the middle of that book. Even this morning, I was reading about Elisha, and I was so blown away with the prophetic words God has been speaking to me. So I want to very briefly, I can't give it all, but I'm going to very briefly share with you from 2 Kings chapter 1 and 2 Kings chapter 2. Both these chapters, there's a transition. In chapter 1, there's a transition. In verse 1, it says, Moab rebelled against Israel after the death of Ahab. There's a kingship transfer. Ahab is dead, and his son, Ahaziah is taking over, and Moab, who's an enemy, starts acting up. Whenever there's a transition, there's turmoil. There's testing. There's trials that comes up. Old enemies who've been sitting quietly will start rising up and creating chaos in a time of transition. So there's a kingly transfer taking place. And how do you handle trials and testings in a time of transition? In chapter 2, there's another transition where there's a prophetic transition. Elijah is going to be taken up. Elisha is there. There's a prophetic transition in chapter 2. And I'll talk about chapter 2 later, but I want to stay on chapter 1. The Lord spoke to me many things from this particular chapter, but I want to zero in on just a few specific things for this morning. The Bible says, Ahaziah fell through the lattice of his upper room in Samaria and was injured. So he sent messengers to them, go inquire of Baal Zebub, the god of Ekron, whether I shall recover from this injury. Verse 3, but the angel of the Lord said to Elijah the Tishbite, arise, go up and meet the messengers of the king of Samaria and say to them, is it because there is no God in Israel that you're going to inquire of Baal Zebub, the god of Ekron?
Now, therefore, thus says the Lord, you shall not come out, come down from your bed to which you have grown, gone up, but you shall surely die. So Elijah departed. Can I release a prophetic word? The king, Ahaziah, fell through the lattice in his upper room in Samaria and was injured, and ultimately he dies. I want to say in this season, God is going to make many people who are sitting in the palace, in the pride, kings and people in high places, they're going to fall through the lattice, and many shifts are going to take place. In this season, God is not tolerating, and he's shifting some of the different headships and leaderships that's happening around the world, whether it's in the house of the Lord or it's in public domain. God is saying, I'm going to shift things around. Kings are going to fall through the lattice. And already I've seen a few of this taking place. And I want to say God is setting up his people in the right place. Let me go into just verse 3, a challenging verse. God gets upset. And I want to ask you, will God get upset? Yes, does God get upset? In this particular situation, God gets upset and says, is it because there is no God in Israel that you're going to inquire of Baal-zebub? And the question I want to ask the people who are listening today is it because there's no God that you are gone to another realm of either worry or fear, anxiety? I want to say, I sometimes I wonder, God, why couldn't you have been very tolerant in this particular area? I feel there is an urgency. I feel there's an expectation in heaven in this season. God is not going to tolerate you putting your weight on something else except on God. Church in the Rock, listen to this very carefully. God is not an add-on. God is not a person who's going to tolerate in this season where I can do this and get away with this. And the question God is asking, is it because there is no God that you're acting like this? Whether it's in choosing a relationship, whether it's choosing a job, whether it's a financial situation, whether it's any situation, God is saying, I want my children to know that I am their God, I am their provider, I am the loving God. But don't behave in such a way that you don't have a God above you. And I feel there's an urgency and there's some things could have been tolerated. And I want to say, in this time of transition, in this time when the world itself is going into turmoil, the Lord is looking at the church. God is looking at you and me. God is looking at you and me. What was okay yesterday is not okay today. And God is telling, would you rise up to the new position that I've called you? Would you, you know, when Joshua sang that song, I surrender, saturate yourself with God. God is saying, if you're going to saturate yourself with anything else, I'm not going to tolerate it now. In this particular situation, it was life and death. There could be a place God says, I don't require you anymore. I'm going to cut you off. You look at Esther. When God put Esther in that position, Mordecai went and said, God has put you in this position. Either you do it or God will remove you and get someone else to do it. But God will get his job done. And I want to challenge you in this situation, in this time of transition, God is calling men and women of God to walk in another realm of dependence and walking with him. I'll leave that phrase, is it because there's no God in Israel that you're going to inquire of Baal-zebub, the God of Ekron? Hallelujah. And the other side of it, I want to say prophetically, there are some people who are listening to me and wondering, God, where are you? I can't be in this situation anymore. Would you come? Would you inquire of the Lord even at this very moment as you hear this voice, hear my voice? God is saying, I will reveal to you. I will speak to you. There are men and women who have chosen not to go this side or that side and saying, God, you're my God and I'm dependent on you. And God says, as you look up to me, as you incline your ear to me, I will speak to you, my daughter. I'll speak to you, my son. With my righteous right hand, I will lead you. This is a time I feel in the spirit realm, in the heavenly realm, there's a shift that's taking place. There's an urgency in the spirit for men and women to align themselves fully with God and saying, God, here am I. Let me go into the, this particular chapter finishes well with, the king gets upset, sends 50 soldiers with a captain of the 50, and Elijah says, sends fire and kills all of them, and the third set of 50 people come in, and then he goes to the king and tells him, thus says the Lord, and the king dies according to the word of God. Chapter 2. Are you ready for chapter 2? I hope you have the word of the Lord in front of you. I'm reading from New King James Version, chapter 2 of 2 Kings. This is a very favorite chapter of mine. I've dwelt in this chapter. I've preached on this chapter. And I can preach many, many, many things from this chapter. God has been speaking to me so many things from this chapter. But I want to stick on to one or two specific things this morning in the aspect of transition. And it came to pass when the Lord was about to take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind. A transition is taking place. Elijah is going to be taken up. And there's going to be a transference of that anointing, of that call on someone else. How do you position yourself in a time of transition? I want to say prophetically, there is a transference of a great anointing that's happening in the spirit realm. I pray, church, you listen to me. I pray, church, you'll understand what I'm trying to say in this spirit realm. God is about to do some great things in this world. And I want to say, sometimes we think revival is going to come from above. Revival is not going to come from above. Revival is going to come from within. People who can position themselves and stay within that sphere where they can receive from God, that's when they will be moved so powerfully in bringing forth the revival. This particular verse says the Lord was about to take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind. Not all whirlwinds are bad. Can I get an amen? If you're going through a whirlwind, it's not bad. There are certain whirlwinds that God allows in your life. And that whirlwind is a time of transition, in a time when things are going to shift. One of the key words this year is, Elisha does not leave Elijah. In end of verse 2, he says, as Lord lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you. But there were sons of prophets who were in Bethel. They knew about it. They tell Elijah, don't you know that Elijah is going to be taken up? He says, keep quiet. There were 50 prophets, sons of prophets again, in Jericho who knew about it. And they sat back and again they told Elisha, don't you know about it? And again he says, keep silent. And he does not leave Elijah. Knowledge in itself is not going to help you. Knowledge of the moves of God in itself is not going to help you. But how you align yourself, how you shift yourself, and how you say, I'm not going to let go. I'm not going to leave you. I know what this is going to entail, and I'm in it. Church in the Rock, I pray you'll hear my voice. Church in the Rock, I pray that you'll hear the voice of God. Because there are times in your life you got to say, this is it. And I'm not letting go. There's another beautiful phrase that comes out here, the sons of the prophets, sons of the prophets. We talk about schools of prophet. When you have schools of prophet, you get students. When you have a father, you have sons. God is looking for fathers, and God's about looking for sons, sons of prophets to arise. And that you could be young, but you can be a father to many sons. Even as we start house church, I pray there'll be sons and daughters rising up, not students, not you being a teacher and you being a master and students coming out, but I pray fathers and mothers will rise up so sons and daughters will be raised in the house. God is looking for sons of prophets. Let me jump into what the key verses that I want to talk about. Verse 9, I'll come to a prophetic word from this particular chapter that I want to release, but before that, let me share what I really talk about the transition. It comes to a place in verse 9, and so it was when they crossed over, and Elijah said to Elisha, ask me, what may I do for you? Elisha says, please let me have a double portion of your spirit be upon you. And he says, you have asked for a hard thing. Nevertheless, if you see me when I'm taking it from you, it shall be so for you. But if not, it shall not be so. Let me try and break this down a little bit. He asked him, ultimately, they crossed River Jordan, and Elijah looks at Elijah and says, ask me, what do you want? And he says, I want a double portion of your anointing. I'm not sure whether you've been in church, and I've been a pastor. I've been, and there are times where in a church service, in a revival service, people say, do you want a double portion of the anointing? And they give an altar call. Nearly the whole church comes up. I'm not sure whether many of you have seen it. People are hungry for the double portion of the anointing. But I'm not against it. If the Lord asks the person to do that and they've done it, it's not a problem. But this particular chapter talks about how do you get the double portion of the anointing? How do you get it? He asked for a double portion of the anointing. And I want to say another thing. When Elisha asked Elijah, Elijah has one portion of the anointing, but he asked him for a double portion. How can Elijah give what he doesn't have? And I've preached many a times, you cannot give what you don't have. Peter says, such as I have, I give unto you. But Elisha asks Elijah for something that he doesn't have. But that's where faith comes in. That's where you can go in and receive what even the other person does not have. And Elisha knew that he was going into a realm that even Elijah can't give me what I'm asking him. But the verse that really struck me, and I stayed in the presence of God for many days saying, God, I want an answer for this thing. He says, if you see me when I'm taken from you, it shall be yours. And I thought, Elijah could have laid hands on him, put the mantle around him, looked up to heavens, the heaven parted, and then came a double portion of the anointing. But he says something very different. And I hope you're following me, Church on the Rock. He says, if you see me when I'm taken from you, it shall be yours. And in the very next verse, it says, then it happened as they continued on and talked that suddenly a chariot of fire appeared with horses of fire and separated the two of them. And the Lord told me, if you can see it, it is yours. I give you the same promise. If you can see the chariots of fire, if you can see the horses of fire, it is yours. If you can walk into that realm of glory, if you can walk in and see the glory realm that is yours, and the promise God says in the New Testament, he doesn't give you a double portion. He says, I'll give my spirit without limit. It's not even double portion. He says, I give you a limitless anointing. I'll give you a limitless glory if you can see me. If you can walk into that realm, Church of the Rock, it is yours. That's why I believe revival is around the corner. God wants to do some crazy things. It's not going to fall from above. It's going to be for men and women who will say, God, I want it. In this time of transition where there's a new anointing and a great anointing that's falling, it is yours. But if you can see it, if you can see it, Church of the Rock, I pray that you will walk into a realm of glory saying, God, I want to see your glory. I want to see your power. I want to walk into a realm where you are, Lord Jesus. I told you I've been in the book of Zechariah. In Zechariah, in chapter 2, there's a man who goes with a measuring line trying to measure Jerusalem. And God tells him, angel of the Lord tells him, stop measuring. Stop measuring. Because I'll be a wall of fire around you and a glory within. And that's the promise God is giving to his church. In this season, I'll be a wall of fire around you. I'll be a glory within. If you can remain under the wall of fire and the glory within, I'm telling you, what you see will happen on earth. Where you dwell, things will happen on earth. No disease, no power, no demon can stand against you because you walk into a realm of glory. And I really believe this is the season God is calling us. And to prove this, I go all the way to chapter 6 of 2 Kings. And a whole army surrounds Elisha. This is later part of his life. His servant goes out and says, there are so many people. And Elisha looks at his servant and says, there are more people with us than there are more people than against me. And the servant thinks he's losing it. But Elisha tells God, open his eyes. And when his servant's eyes were opened, there were mountains full of chariots of fire and horses of fire. See, what Elisha walked into a realm, he was constantly seeing the heavenly realm. He was constantly dwelling in a realm of glory. Church, if you can stay in that glory, if you can see that glory, if you can go to that place, not just the double portion, but limitless anointing. After this, you'll find the first healing that he does, he heals a city. The water was water was so bad that it brought barrenness and death. He heals the city, and it goes on and on and on what Elisha does, because he knew how to dwell in the glory realm. My prayer today, in this time of transition, I pray that you'll be able to see and receive this glory realm. There is a transition taking place. And I'm not saying this lightly. The Lord spoke to me a lot of specific things. It's a time when the mantle has fallen. You know, I want to release another prophetic words. You know, when Elijah in verse 8. Now Elijah took the mantle and rolled it up and struck the water, and it was divided. That's how he crossed River Jordan. And after Elisha picks up the mantle, you know, he does the same thing in verse 13. He also took up the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him and back and struck the bank of the Jordan. Then he took the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him and struck the water. Where is the Lord God of Elijah? I want to release two words, prophetic words, to Church on the Rock and others who are seeing this particular podcast or in YouTube. I want to tell you two things. Take the mantle. Take the mantle. You know, the many mantles have fallen. Many mantles have fallen. You know, there are mantles that's fallen. And God is saying, come on, pick up that mantle. Pick up the mantle. There is a call. There's anointing. There is a mantle that God has given you. Pick it up. Don't walk as if I'm Peter. Don't walk as if it's Josiah. Don't walk as if it's Joel. Pick up the mantle. You are a man of God. You're a woman of God. Pick up that mantle. Pick up the mantle that God has given you. And I know I can preach on another thing. I feel prophetically again, God said, pick up the mantles that's fallen. There are many mantles that's fallen. People are not picking up the mantle. You got to go after the anointing. You got to go after saying, God, I cannot live like this anymore. He picks up the mantle. And the second thing I said, strike the water. Come on. You strike the water. You strike the water. Strike whatever is ahead of you, which is blocking the move of God. Strike the things that's in front of you. You know, in the book of Zechariah, it says, oh, mountain, you shall be plain ground before Zerubbabel. It's not by might. It's not by power, but the move of the Spirit. And as I look in here, as I look at men and women of God whose parents have done crazy things, who've gone ahead, the Elishas have gone ahead, the Elishas have to rise up. You got to pick up the mantle that your parents have left. You got to pick up the mantle of revivalists like John G. Lakes, who has lived in Ontario, who has brought in healing. Pick up the mantle and strike the water. Come on, strike the water. Strike the water. It might look funny. It might look impossible, but strike the water. In this time of transition, there's two things I want to leave behind before we go in for breaking bread and getting into communion. Joshua, come, Joshua. I want you to play the keyboard. I do want to say, God is looking for people who will say, God, you're my everything. You're my all. I'm giving myself completely to you. God is looking for men and women who'll give it all. He'll give it all. The second thing I want to say, and I think it's very important for Church on the Rock. It's very important for men and women of God, even those who are listening here, who are part of the worship team, are here listening. I want to say that revival is knocking at our door. Revival is knocking at your door. It's knocking at your door. And I pray you and I will say, yes, God, here am I. Yes, God, here am I. Yes, God, here am I. There's another verse from, you know, you look at Elisha, the miracles that he did is crazy. They go through a wilderness where for 7 days they don't have water. And he says, dig ditches. And then he says, you'll see neither rain nor wind, but I'll fill this valley with water. And God says, not only that, he says, it's a simple matter for me. And I want to challenge men and women of God, where are you? Who are you? Are you able to believe the God who is God of miracles, God who wants to do crazy things? There's a world that's desperate today. Not just Canada, not just USA, but the world at large is desperate, looking for men and women of God who'll pick up the mantle and say, God, here am I. I believe in you. There's another verse that God spoke to me this morning. It's shut the door. Shut the door. In the very next few chapters, you'll find Elisha when he's out there There's a prophet, a lady, the wife of a prophet comes and says, the creditors are there to get my sons. And one of the things he says is, you know, get the vessels, but shut the door when you start pouring that oil. There is something about staying with God. I believe God is calling in this season for us to see Him. If you can see it, it's yours. If you can see it, it's yours. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. I'm going to go in for communion. The greatest transition took place the night He was betrayed. God knew. This is a time of transition. This is a time that He knew He's going to be in another few days, in another few hours, He's going to depart. The last act that He does with His disciples at the time of transition, He takes bread. And He says, this is my body that's going to be broken for you. And behind this body that's broken, He said, I'm giving myself completely to you. Because by my stripes, you're going to get healed. You see, in the book of Acts, what happens is an outcome of what happens in the time of communion. God gave that promise. It's a time of transition, my children. I'm going to give you authority. I'm going to give you power. But I'm going to go to the cross. I'm going to pass on this touch to you. As you take this bread, I want you to believe that God did everything. He took the cup. This is a cup of the new covenant. He said, this is a cup of a new anointing that I'm going to pour upon you, upon my children. I'm going to give my spirit without limit. The Bible says in Acts chapter 19, Paul did extraordinary miracles. That even his aprons were taken and put upon the sick and demon possessed, and they were getting healed. It's not talking about just miracles, but extraordinary miracles started taking place. And I want to say this God remains the same. The price that He paid at the cross remains the same. My prayers are the men and women who are saying, God, I want to take that mantle. I want to take that anointing. I'm here. I'm here. Karabashakala. The Lord would say unto you, I'm taking you in, my children. I'm taking you in, my children. Even before we get into communion, can I ask you just to spend some time alone with God? Would you say, God, here am I? Would He say, God, here am I. I give myself to you. Church of the Lord, God is giving us grace to walk into the Holy of Holies. God is giving us grace to be in the secret place. God's going to give us grace that you and I can be under the waterfall of the anointing of the Lord. That you and I can receive this new anointing. The anointing of our revival is pouring upon His children. Joel Lazarus, the Lord would say unto you, the gift of healing is going to flow from you in an extraordinary way. Even as I spoke over Acts chapter 19, when it's just not miracles, but extraordinary miracles and creative miracles will flow from you. And Josiah, there are children waiting, not just to hear the voice of God, but children to be healed. I see children who are being abused and physically not well. God says, I'll use you, my son, to heal many children. And there are many people here. I see Billy. I see Jay. I see, Joshua. You will make a way where there is no way. You will make a way where there's no way. I see you all digging. I see you all making a way in the forest. I see you all penetrating into hard arenas where people said you cannot go into those places and preach the gospel. God is saying, no, you will make a way. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I speak to the fathers and mothers in Church on the Rock this morning. Even as you sit back, one word from you is enough. One word from you is enough. There's a new anointing and a new anointing and a new power that God is going to give the sons and daughters, the fathers and mothers in our house. You are being faithful in this house. You have remained faithful in this house. And God says just one word from you. It's like a tsunami. Miracles and provisions and moves of God will take place. The Lord would say, much grace is upon Church on the Rock. Much grace is upon Church on the Rock. I see a woman who's got cancer in her stomach. I'm not sure whether you're going to be hearing it right now and live, or you're going to see this message later. I see the top right part of your stomach hurting so much. The Lord says, I heal you right now in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The night that he was betrayed, he took bread. And he broke it. Church of the Rock, can I ask you one thing? Are you not broken? Is that the reason God is not able to use you? Joshua sang that song, I surrender. There's no other way. There's no other way. What are you holding on to? Why do you want to be whole? When you know there's nothing that's happening in your life, can you break? The night that he was betrayed, he broke. He broke. And there's something about being broken before God, being real before God, being honest before God, being holy before God, being vulnerable before God. And I pray, Church in the Rock, at this season that you'll become very vulnerable before the God who loves you so much. The night that he was betrayed, he broke bread and he said, take, eat. This is my body given to you. In like manner, he took the cup and he said, this is the cup of the new covenant. Karabashe aka, a sense of an anointing falling. It's a new anointing. Things you've never seen before. I'll take you to places where you've never been before. Especially the young people, I want to tell you, Toronto will not be the same. The nations at large will not be the same. Nations will open up and you'll walk into arenas that you never thought you'll walk into. I'm putting a new anointing. Even as you drink of this cup, I want you to drink boldly and say, God, here am I. Take your mantle and say, God, I'm willing to strike the water. Take that mantle. Take this anointing and say, God, I'm willing. I'm willing to rise up, to take that position that you call me for. And I'm ready to strike the water. Father, I just thank you, God. I thank you for these elements. I thank you for the move of God this morning. Let us not be the same anymore. Let us not be the same anymore. You were not the same. You gave it all. And the world was never the same after that. Let it happen in the same way to us, O God. Let there be a transference of your anointing, O God. Not just a double portion. The anointing that you said, I'll give it without measure. Would you pour that anointing upon us even as we partake of your elements? Partake it boldly. Eat and drink. I think of the phrase when you're drinking the cup this morning. It says, drink ye all of this. Drink ye all of this. Can you go all the way? Can you go all the way? Don't stop in the middle. Don't stop in the middle. You've known enough of this about this God. You've come so far. Don't stop. Whatever the word of God speaks to you, whatever the Lord has spoken to you, whatever you trust in God, can you go all the way? Drink ye all of this and say, God, here am I. I want it all, and I'm giving myself all. Father, even this morning, we just thank you. Thank you. We give ourselves unconditionally, God, not just for this half an hour and 40 minutes. From this day onwards, O God, we're yours. We'll walk into the realms that you've called us into. But the mighty men, you ask, where is the God of Elijah? God, here we are, the Elijahs of God. The Elijahs of God are here, Master God. If you were to ask around, where are the Elijahs of God? We're here, God. And even as we call out, where is the God of Elijah? Show yourself in a mighty way. Thank you, Father. In your name we pray this prayer. Amen.